Welcome to the Electra International series, Think Like a Leader. We all enjoy hearing another person's success story, and we hope our conversations with leaders from across the electrical construction industry will help spark your interest and creativity in finding ways you can think like a leader. Today, we are honored to have Greg Long with us. Greg is president of Long Electric, located in the Bay Area, serving Northern California. Company is a medium-sized firm, does a lot of business in that Bay Area, and they've been around for 31 years. So Greg has a good long history and knows a lot about leading. So thank you so much, Greg, for taking time to be with us today.
Pleased to be here, Carolyn. Really, I appreciate the offer.
Greg, in your own words, in your own materials, you describe Long Electric as transforming the electrical experience. How do you make that goal part of your leadership approach to running your company?
You know, that's our tagline, but it's also our vision statement. And even though it's only four words long, it's, you know, there's a lot to that. We want to make sure that our customers and actually all of our stakeholders have that a great experience with Long Electric, and you know that we're providing the services to at the top level and providing them with the best electrical experience. And we do that through keeping our core values in mind, and you know, we have our mission statement as well. I think that everybody understands that it's right there on our tagline, and that's what our goal and expectation is: excellence.
Another phrase that I saw that you use, and many people do, and we talk about it a lot, is the idea of collaboration. But I want to turn that one around a little bit. When does a leader, under what circumstances, does a leader have to lead alone and not collaborate? Are there certain things that you would say, this is something I got to make the decision on? Yeah, I'm willing to listen a little bit, but this is something that I've got to decide myself as the leader.
Frankly, that was the hardest part. That's the hardest part of being the owner, is that, you know, everybody in my past experiences before becoming, starting, you know, my Long Electric, my own business, was, you know, you always had these group, or I had a supervisor of some type that I could turn to, and a group that you could turn to for that. And, you know, when you're the president and you're the owner, you got to make a lot of decisions, you know, on your own. And you just have to find ways to pare it down to where there's really, you know, ultimately at the end, you have one from, you know, there's just one decision at the end. There's just one option, you know, you get it down to two options usually. And then you just have to make that final decision. And it's hard. I work on the business nowadays instead of in it. I started Long Electric when I was 28 years old. So it was a lot of stuff I had to learn. It's not so much a collaboration at that point. You gotta make decisions on many things, you know, within your company on how you can better improve the, maybe it's process and procedures, maybe it's estimating procedures, or it could be just a lot of different topics. A geographic area we want to work in, and I have to determine, you know, in the end, I got to determine what we're going to do with that. You could have a job that is just not going well, but you've got to make sure you finish that job because your name's on that truck and you got to do a good job with it.
Can you give our audience an example that comes to mind of an occasion where collaboration was the right way to go and really made a particular project or decision very successful for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's internal collaboration within the company. We had a strategic plan we just did a couple of years back, and a few of us collaborated on all the questions that we need to answer at that time. You know, it's a living document, but we came up with our vision statement, our mission statement, our value, our core. We put out our feelings on what our values were as a company. Then we set up three goals. You know, you could set up 15 goals, but you're not going to, you know, you need to focus on a few goals and to set yourself up for success of completing those goals. So that was a collaboration within our company.
collaboration that's more of a project based. There's many, you can't get through a job without collaborating. We have a BIM portion of the job, you know, the pre-construction, you're collaborating with everybody, especially on design build projects, which is a lot of what we do. Collaboration is done 90% of the time with anything I do. There's more than one way to, you know, to get things done. You got to reach out to all those different point of views. You know, there's different angles. People look at it from different angles, and you may not think of that particular angle at that time. You bring people in, you know, you surround yourself with good people, and we have great people here. Collaboration is necessary.
Do you think your leadership style and your focus are the same today as they were when you first founded the firm? Or have you had to shift gears and do things differently as a leader?
Oh, man. It's definitely, yeah. I'd like to think that things have, I do things differently because I started, like I said, I started Long Electric when I was 28 years old. I had no project management experience, no estimating experience, no financial background, no HR background, and basically no working capital. So I was not set up for success, I would say. If that same Greg Long showed up to me right now, I'd tell him, you're not going into business. It's tough when, especially in today's world, you got to have a certain amount of experience and working capital. So there's no question that just on experience, lack of experience alone to the experience I have in 31 years later. Yeah, I've learned a lot. I made plenty of mistakes along the way and hopefully learned from every one of them.
What are some of the trends and influencers that you see present that are really going to have an impact on the electrical construction industry over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years?
You know, when I think about that question, it's so different right now. We've had almost a pause of this last year with the interruption of COVID. But I would say that to answer that right now, I just think the biggest thing is people, bringing people into our industry. We have a major shortage. You know, we were told a long time ago that just due to attrition, we would lose, you know, with people retiring and how many people we'd have to bring in, that we were going to end up with a shortage. And then we had the Great Recession and lost some people left the industry at that time because they weren't staying busy. Then we had all the schools telling everybody to go to college and not the trade schools and after high school. So we got triple whammy there, and our industry is taking off with really no end in sight. We have a lot of opportunities in the electrical construction industry. So I would say the biggest focus would be recruiting or just the opportunities that are available in our industry and bringing people into those great opportunities, waving, you know, letting them know that we need to we need to create a lot more interest or knowledge that our industry is there with great jobs.
Now, you've been involved with Electri International for many years. Does that involvement and working with your industry peers, does that have an effect on you in terms of, I really want to look at what other people in Electri are going to tell me about this, or is it still a question that everybody's got to do it in their own space without looking to each other, which is the way you lead? Do you lead with peers or do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Electri itself to me is such a great room to be in. Electri has contractors, it has manufacturers reps, it's got distributors representation. You know, there's a lot of it's got researchers. There's just a lot of people from the entire electrical construction industry, stakeholders that are in those rooms. And in the meetings, when they're speakers or when we're doing a round table that's going to create a white paper, all those things they're very valuable. It's like a peer group. It's almost like belonging to a peer group when you're in that. Now, all the documents that come out of all the documents that we can, the research documents and every other thing that we can, those resources that we can go to at any time are great. I belong to a peer group. It's called the Electrical Peer Group. And there's 11 of us. And I've got so much out of that. They're like family to me. They're from all over the United States, and we're in non-competing markets, and we could be sharing, hey, what do you do for incentive programs? What do you do? You know, you can email or discuss things at any time. And then we meet three times a year, and it just rotates between our companies. That is just, it's a huge asset to have, because we all go through all these things as business owners. It's not just being an electrical contractor, it's being a business owner. You're trying to succeed, and it's a tough market. It's a tough industry. And so
we definitely want to congratulate you on receiving MECA's Project Excellence Award for 2020. Were there leadership skills that you fine-tuned that Electri helped you move along toward this prestigious award? Are there certain things that Electri has done project-wise that come to mind that you say, you know, I'm really glad I was able to learn about X. That really had an impact, and that led us to getting this award.
I don't know if I can call out a specific thing. Our team, we have a great team, and I'm sure that due to the influences of being a part of NECA and Electri, like we've talked before, you know, I'm very involved in all of those. You can be a member of something or a contributor to something, but, you know, it sort of goes back to, you know, you get out of what you put into it. And I'm really involved in those, the peer group, Electri and NECA, all those influences and all the conversations I could have had, and then bringing that back to our team. Having those team members even be able to reach out to team members from other companies if necessary has all benefited us in a way that helped us achieve that Project Excellence Award.
Well, you are also very well known for your advocacy for and interest in the entire issue of change orders. And I believe I'm correct that that started from your involvement when Electri International first did its study on change orders. And you went on and made sure that both at the state level and nationally, that people understood the difficulty that electrical construction faces because of change order problems. Can you tell our audience a little bit about the entire change order world and what the opportunity to testify about that meant to you personally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was an awesome experience. Who thinks they're going to do that in their lifetime, really? I mean, who thinks you're going to sit on Capitol Hill and in that room in front of Congress and answer questions at that table? So that was, once in a lifetime thing, I'm sure. And it was awesome. That topic I could talk about forever. But the fact that that's the trigger that I really wanted to be involved in Electri, because I really wanted to see a research project done on change orders. While us as contractors all understand the impacts of change orders on a daily basis, the people that we have to educate on that, we needed something, a tool to be able to educate them on. That same resource to use at Congress, I held that document up when I testified. It's truly, I think, been a beneficial resource when you're trying to negotiate. It's part of negotiating, but you're trying to explain what all the impacts are of a change order and how, but by the time somebody brings up some kind of change to the end, what the actual consequence, what the cost impacts are and the consequences of that.
Did you find members of Congress receptive to the message, or were they resistant to even thinking about it?
They were very receptive to it. And the bill that I was testifying in support of ended up going through Congress. So it was a success. You know, the bills, one thing about when, you know, you try to present a bill and get it to go through, there's a lot of stepping stones there. And there's a lot of changes in the bill by the time it actually, you know, passes. And so it was nice to see that become part of a bill that succeeded, that got approved.
As you think about Electri International going forward for the next several years, are there certain projects or initiatives or areas that you would like to see them take on, either as research or educational programming or cross-border, whatever? Are there certain things where you'd say, you know, Electri's got to do more of? What comes to your mind?
They're doing a great job. I think the input from
you know, the contributors, the members, contributors, however you want to put it, has always been so well taken and managed. I've sat on the program review committee for, you know, some time. And, you know, we get these requests and then we go out to the researchers for that. And it's all handled so well that I would just say, keep doing what you're doing. I don't have a specific topic myself right now because I've been part of it. And a lot of those projects that were on my mind, there has been research done on them and they've been very beneficial.
What's the best advice that you personally have received during your 31 years running the company? And obviously, you started from a very scary place. No experience in this, no experience in that, no money for this, no money for that. So over 31 years, I'm willing to bet you've had the opportunity to get advice from other people. So what would you tell our listeners today has been the best advice you ever got?
Oh, God, I don't know. I've gotten so much advice, very, very beneficial and advice. And sometimes, I mean, over 31 years, like I said, I was 28. And it's just, I was told before I went into business when I'm working on jobs, you know, never say can't. Do not say, I can't do that. I can't do this. It's very simple. It's very applicable to be in business. I mean, you just can't, I don't want to say give up, but you have your vision, stick to it. You get constant, you know, hurdles or different things in the road, and you get guided sort of down a different, you know, one to these whys in the road all the time through business. And you just try to do your very best to pick the right one.
What are some of the things that you're doing to prepare the next generation of leaders for Long Electric? Are you taking specific steps to identify leaders within your own company? Are you looking to hire certain kinds of people as project managers, hoping eventually to move them into inside management positions? How are you approaching it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm fortunate to have two boys. And one of the things I thought of when I first went into business that, you know, I'll have my two boys and sometime we'll come into the business and, you know, they'll be there too. And it'll be, you know, and that's when they were little guys. And they're both here now. Tom, my oldest son, he's pretty much running the show already. So, and he's been here for years. And he started out, I remember Patty having to drop him off at work because he couldn't drive yet. So he was pretty young as summer help. And Jordan, who really didn't have an interest in the electrical industry at all, a couple of years back, he came in and has been working as a project engineer, and he's doing a fantastic job. We have a great team here. We have and a lot of those positions, but we are actively pursuing, you know, filling some of these roles. We've been involved with different universities to try to get that. I think the biggest one big thing to help with that situation is get that conduit between high schools or junior colleges or universities to try to get people to your company as interns or whatever it may be is just one way to do that. But yeah, we're growing. So we always have these opportunities. And one of the great opportunities for our company is to provide the opportunity for advancement in your company. And that's one of the ways we retain our employees and provide that great working environment.
I appreciate all of your answers so far. And now I'm going to turn the tables and say, is there any topic about leadership that I haven't brought up with you that you want to make sure you get a minute or two to tell our audience some aspect of leadership that you find particularly important to you?
I think the biggest thing with leadership is I just really feel like, you know, you have to have your core values that you need to, you know, maintain. That's all. People that want to be leaders, that love the industry, you know, that's the way I feel. If you're a good employee, you got to love what you're doing. And things will always work out for you if you have a great work ethic, you love what you're doing, and, you know, you show up. So that's all I really have, you know. It's a great industry, and I really very fortunate to have met all the people I've met in our industry.
Well, Greg, we thank you so much for your time. And clearly, anybody who comes to work for you, I'm sure they are very pleased to understand that you're going to give them every opportunity to succeed and achieve and advance. And we know your company is doing very, very well. And we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day today to be with us. So thank you so much again. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. We know you learn a lot from these Think Like a Leader interviews. And if you plan to attend the Electric Council meeting in July in Salt Lake City, you'll have a chance to talk with every one of these leaders face-to-face, peer-to-peer. Thank you so much. Bye-bye for today. Thank you for joining us for today's Think Like a Leader conversation. You can access every interview in this series on our website, electri.org, or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This is a remarkable look inside the electrical construction industry, and it's yours for the listening.